A Confractionary Tale, written by B.Y. Herbert, narrated by Aaron Miller. In the chaos of Ellie Ketterman's Sunday morning, there was one detail of which she was certain. The confractionary appeared only after Ellie ate 9 candy bars and split herself in half. One moment before the 9th Butter Buddy wrapper fluttered onto Ellie's comforter, the creature was not there. A second later, as Ellie crammed the last candy bar in her mouth, it stood centered on the plush rug of her toy-cluttered bedroom. Between those two moments was an even stranger one, where Ellie swore she had been pulled in opposite directions with the sounds of a balloon animal being twisted into segments. The creature's skin glittered the vibrant pink of the Valentine's Day cookies Ellie stole from her parents 3 months ago. Its nose shone the blue of the buttercream biscuits she guilted her mother into making last week, and its teeth were the sort of jumbled mess that Ellie's dentist had dutifully warned her about. When the creature's egg-shaped eyes landed on Ellie, it spoke in a voice that was identical to hers, except for a vague stickiness.
Before you say anything, I'll remind you of the questions you've been asking yourself for years,
the creature said as it folded its gooey arms over its chest.
Where is the refrigerator for chocolate milk? Where are the stacks of cupcakes in every color? Where are the bedsheets made of taffy? Nowhere, and nowhere will not do.
While most children would have been stunned, Ellie hopped off her bed, walked up to the creature, and jabbed it in the tummy with an index finger.
What are you doing in my room?
She inspected her hand and found a glob of pink frosting congealed on her fingertip.
And what are you? What am I?
The creature held a hand to its chest.
I'm you, or rather, I'm the fraction of you that loves candy. Scholars call me the confractionary, but you may call me smart.
Dissatisfied with that answer, Ellie stomped into her supposed timeout space, a corner of the bedroom with a 60-inch television and a fun terminal 4-game console. Normally, she avoided even coming close to the video game console. It wasn't that she didn't like playing video games, it's just that she had been warned repeatedly by her grandmother that they would rot her brain.
So, you're part of me. Always and forever. But please wipe that look from your face. Children always gawk at me like I'm a monster. I'm not. I come to those needing help, and anyone eating 9 candy bars needs a great deal of help.
Ellie's gaze lowered partly from confusion and partly from the guilt that someone witnessed her stealing for the first time in her 8 years on Earth. She'd been crafty with her ruses and cover-ups. Last week, she'd broken her parents' bathroom cabinet door and suffered not even a suspicious look from them. She'd even intentionally destroyed a dozen of Grandma's homemade blankets, and neither parent accused Ellie of malicious intent. Now someone, or something, had finally caught her. Still, she wasn't going to give a straightforward apology because Ellie's one-minded drive to get whatever she wanted kept her safe. It left her feeling strong, perhaps even unbreakable.
I shouldn't have taken those candy bars, I guess. Shouldn't have. Oh, you misunderstand.
The creature tutted its tongue as it surveyed the rows of birthday cards covering the walls. Every year, Ellie had received one from each parent, and every year they grew more magnificent until the end of the row. This year, when her father's card gleamed with golden flake lettering and her mother's flaunted real ivory for the birthday walrus tusks.
I'm not here to shame you for taking 9 candy bars. No, I'll help you eat 10 next time.
Ellie offered no response aside from a sharp-toothed grin, though the smile faltered when she considered the implications of working with a deviant.
Oh, how you look at me like I'm a criminal. I'm not that either. Consider me a friend who's watched you for years.
Smart leaned in and blinked one eye, then the other.
Like a best friend. Could a best friend made of candy really be a criminal?
Ellie narrowed her eyes as she pondered this, then shook her head.
Marvelous. Now for lesson number one. Even queens have limited space in their castles. So cherish what you love and discard what you don't. For example, father did better this year.
Smart tore the elephant card off the wall and shredded it into pieces. Ellie nearly protested the destruction of her property, but stopped herself. Father's card was better, after all.
Together we'll do wonderful things. Come with me.
Smart had skipped out of the bedroom by the time Ellie registered what was said. The creature pattered down the stairway with Ellie storming after it.
Stop it! Are you stupid?
Ellie hissed.
My parents are going to see you.
The confractionary twirled as they passed the doorway to the living room, where Ellie's mother and father sat at the coffee table playing a card game.
Lesson number two. Everyone who claims to love you should love you completely.
Ellie had no problem agreeing with obvious statements, so she nodded.
Very good. Self-worth is a rare quality for a child, especially a girl. You deserve love, yes? So where have your parents been while you languish in your bedroom with an outdated video game console and a single brand of candy?
Ellie furrowed her brow and peered into the living room.
They're in there. Are they?
Smart asked as it raised one Jolly Rancher eyebrow on its forehead.
Where are the gifts they've brought home for you? Where's the spark of friendly competition for your affection? No, those don't look like your parents to me.
Ellie leaned into the room, appraising her parents with a jaded sense of fairness. Her father rubbed his well-manicured beard, his glasses lowered as he stared at the card in his hand. Finally, he spoke.
It says here I'm an empath with an Aries moon, and right now Jupiter's in Pisces.
Ellie's mother gasped and brought her thin hands to her full red lips.
Darius, is that why you forgot to take the trash to the dump and then ate all my ice cream?
Darius shrugged his broad shoulders and nodded thoughtfully.
Must be, Angie. There's no other explanation for it.
Oh, Darius, I love it when you're spiritual and mysterious.
Angie leaned in and embraced Darius until their lips met. Together, they rocked against the only one of Grandma's hand-knitted blankets to have survived Ellie's childhood, the one with the word love stitched at its center, and a mosaic of family pictures hand-sewn into each square. Ellie darted out of view as Smart spoke again.
What's happened to them? Why are they so happy together? They went to therapy.
Ellie crossed her arms and glared at the floor.
Ooh, physical therapy?
The creature gasped and took a quick step away.
No. Couples therapy.
Smart leaned forward and bared its broken teeth.
That's even worse.
It spun and marched down the long hallway, plastered with dozens of Ellie's portraits, as the little pink monster waddled into the kitchen, its feet sticking to the linoleum and smacking with every step. It dragged one hand across the polished metal refrigerator.
Pictures of other children,
it said as magnetic photos of cousins and friends showered to the floor in a skittering, clattering cacophony. Ellie grinned even wider than before. They were pictures of other children, after all. And why would other children have a place in Ellie's kitchen? Ellie, my love, her mother called.
My dearest Ellie, her father yelled.
The two sets of footsteps rushed into the kitchen as Ellie's parents skidded to a stop and stared down at her. When Ellie looked backward in a panic, she found the confectionery had vanished.
My sweetest girl, said her mother.
My most precious, said her father.
Then, as their old manner of speaking stopped, the new behavior started. Instead of showering Ellie with kisses, smothering her in hugs, or offering alternating promises of larger toys or day trips of escalating grandeur, they pulled one another close and nodded as if in unspoken solidarity. Where once they had been best friends with Ellie, now they reminded Ellie of a brick wall, blocking her from all the goodness in life. They reminded her now of her grandmother.
Ellie, they said together, looking into each other's eyes and gesturing as if to say, no, after you.
Ellie didn't bother hiding her disgust. Her mother took the opportunity.
Ellie, sweetie, what happened?
For a moment, Ellie's mouth hung open while her mind raced to conjure an appropriate excuse.
The wind blew the picture down, obviously.
When a sufficiently long pause followed, unbreakable Ellie still refused to concede anything and added for good measure,
sorry, but it's not like I can control the weather, Mom.
Her father rubbed his chin suspiciously.
Ellie, the windows are all closed.
I closed them right after. What?
Ellie jutted her chin out and pouted.
You don't believe me?
It appeared her father was about to say something when Ellie's mother squeezed his shoulder.
Oh, my smart little girl, how about this?
She said, leaning down and bringing her chocolate brown eyes near Ellie's.
If you clean this up, we'll take you to the park.
What, like together? Ellie asked.
Yes, together.
Her father wrapped his arm around her mother's waist.
Fine,
Ellie mumbled, then straightened her posture.
After that, one of you will take me to the candy store, and whoever doesn't will take me to the arcade.
Well, that's certainly an attitude. You get that from your mu-.
Her father glanced back at her mother guiltily, then shook his head.
Most important friends at school. But no, Ellie, we enjoy the park, so we'll go together and we can all have fun. Besides, I'm not sure you need to go to the candy store.
He loomed close as he asked his question, his eyes locked on Ellie's lips as if waiting to inspect the words as they flew from her mouth.
Have you seen the Butter Buddy bars?
More questions and more doubts. What happened to her parents? What would happen to Ellie if they kept up these interrogation tactics? She clenched her fists, turned her nose down, and glared back. It would take a lot more than that to break Ellie.
I have not, father. Maybe you ate them and forgot.
Her father paused with his mouth hanging open, but snapped his jaw shut when Ellie's mother tugged at his sleeve.
That's a good enough answer for us, and we can still go to the park, her mother said while giving her father a calm nod. If you clean this up, of course, because if the windows were open, it wasn't either your father or I who left them open.
Saying nothing more, her mother led her father out by the wrist and left Ellie alone in the kitchen. From the hallway, they recited the same nonsensical phrase they'd repeated since beginning couples therapy.
Love is not a zero-sum game.
When their voices vanished, a quiet placidity remained, broken only by the ice maker clattering beside Ellie and her stomach churning with something like regret, dread, or 9 butter buddy bars. The exchange hadn't left Ellie thinking she had done something wrong, but her parents' manner of speaking, it had been so scolding. The nearest cabinet exploded.
A zero yum game is more like it,
Smart said, launching out into a cascade of fruit leather, peanuts, and a handful of packaged pistachios. Frantically, the monster dug through the avalanche of healthy snacks.
Where is the candy? Where are the toaster smacks? Do you even have cereal?
Ellie! Ellie's mother called.
I'm trying to get paper towels. It'd be easier if you didn't leave them behind the sink,
Ellie said as she climbed on the counter and crammed the snacks back into the cabinet. Her parents had never caught Ellie causing trouble, and she wouldn't let a candy monster break her 8-year winning streak. Smart burst from another cabinet, this one under the sink. In one hand, it clutched a lighter, and in the other, it gripped a bottle of lighter fluid.
Lesson number 3. There is no avoiding the things that hurt you, but you can destroy them before they have the chance to break you,
the creature said as it ran, laughing toward the hallway. Gleefully, it screamed,
"Ooh, we're burning Grandma's blanket!"
While Ellie might have agreed to such destruction while her parents weren't home, they were only 15 feet above her. In addition, Ellie has a more intimate reason for stopping this insanity. Grandma's last blanket survived so long for a good reason. When Ellie read love sewn on its center, she could hear her grandmother saying it. And she remembered how different that word sounded when spoken in that caring voice. She could not forget that feeling her grandmother's words invoked, nor did she want to forget. Ellie grabbed the creature by the hand as it tried to blaze past her.
Wait, ew,
Ellie said as her fingers sank into the pound cake that made up the confractionary's wrist. The creature stopped. Its head facing the living room, and not a twitch betrayed the dangerous stillness of its buttercream body. Ellie spoke cautiously.
Why burn Grandma's blanket?
The creature's head spun, its eyes now covered in red polka dots as it hissed.
Because it's scratchy and smells like minestrone soup, and we hate it.
It wrenched its wrist free and fled down the hallway.
No!
Ellie squealed as she ran after the monster, dashing through the hallway and past the stairway. As she turned into the living room, the confractionary leapt over the leather armchair, snatching the old crochet blanket off the sofa and threw it into the brick fireplace.
This is what you want, Ellie!
The confractionary screeched as it held the lighter fluid over the fireplace.
Take what you need and destroy what you hate, because those parents aren't doing anything for you anymore. Now, lesson number 4, burden of proof. If there are no witnesses, there was no crime.
Ellie's heart sank as Smart sprayed lighter fluid on the last thing her parents had from Grandma. She hated the blanket's scratchy texture and suffocating weight, but she loved her parents. They all loved Grandma, and Grandma had loved Ellie. It was in the way she always said, love, with a depth exceeding life. A breadth stretching beyond time, and honesty above all else, that Ellie knew it was the truest way the word could be spoken. Now that blanket with that word awaited its end in the fireplace. Just then, the space around Ellie's heart felt as if it cracked, leaving her not quite shattered, but a little broken. Perhaps Grandma's warnings about video games hadn't come from hatred for fun. Perhaps her instincts about giving Ellie one candy per weekend hadn't come from a distaste for the delicious. Perhaps all that endless fun and decadence had been what set Ellie wrong in the first place. What else would have put this evil creature inside her? And what, for that matter, could destroy it? She knew the answer. She always had. And she hated it. But it was the only way to end this and the only way to save the memory of her grandmother. Her ceaseless drive to take from others had left her insides hard and brittle as the confractionary, and to remake her own brittle heart, Ellie understood she needed to break it first.
"Mom, Dad, I poured gas on Grandma's blanket."
The confractionary's jaw dropped with the sound of shattering toffee.
"What are you doing?"
"And I knocked the magnets off the fridge."
"Stop it,"
the confractionary said as its arm disintegrated, frosting pouring from its shoulder and spinning into clouds of cotton candy.
"Last week I broke the cabinet. Last month I stole the cookies. I tore up the bag of rye bread so you'd think it was a mouse. Before Grandma died, I ruined her other blankets, too."
Smart's face twisted as its jaw swung crooked, Cadbury egg filling dripping from its eyes, and hot fudge poured from its lips as it tried to speak. There was no fear in its eyes, though, only a deep hatred for rules, regulations, and above all, the little girls who followed them.
"Mom! Dad!"
Ellie shouted as she took a defiant step toward the melting creature.
"I ate the Butter Buddy bars!"
Following those six words was another sound, much like a balloon animal being untwisted. All the cotton candy clouds vanished. The sticky footprints on the floor dissolved. And the house seemed perfectly peaceful despite the two sets of footsteps crashing down the stairwell. Her mother and father rounded the corner, but rather than shower her with kisses, they towered over her and stared. "Ellie," her father snatched the lighter off the floor while her mother breezed past and ripped the blanket out of the fireplace. His voice came strained as if trying to squeeze a scream into something that would appropriately fit into the small room. "Why would you do this?" Once, months ago, her parents would eventually cave and forgive Ellie for backtalk or other naughtiness without any prompting, but not anymore. She considered telling them about Smart, but weighed this against her history of unpunished thieving, swindling, and sabotage. Thinking about it, she couldn't remember all the big lies, let alone the little ones. If taking ownership of today's misdeeds would offset the others even a little, then Ellie would do so.
"I don't like the blanket because it's scratchy and smells like soup. I swung from the cabinets because it was fun, and I don't like rye bread because it's gross."
There was another pause as her parents glanced at each other. Ellie squeezed her eyes shut, waiting for something new, something foreign, perhaps beatings or torture or whatever adults learned in couples therapy. Instead, they did what Ellie least expected. They both showered her with kisses.
"My sweetest,"
said her mother.
"My most precious," said her father.
After 2 minutes of hugging and her parents trying to pull Ellie closer, her mother finally stepped away, announcing,
"Well, I'm sure the therapist would tell us we should be scolding you. I think we all know this mess is her fault anyways. As I've always told your father, we can't punish you for acting out when you have a good reason to."
Her father crossed his arms.
"We're sorry, Lovebug. We know how important these extra hours on the weekend have been for you, and like your mother, you're clearly stubborn about keeping them. So it's decided.
Her mother gave an affirmatory smile. We'll stop couples therapy. We're in a good place anyway. Those 2 hours belong to you, my sweetest.
Ellie paused to absorb this, relishing that familiar sweetness of satisfied expectation. For whatever Ellie desired, Ellie obtained. The world felt right once more, and while this spread a grin across her face, the sight in the mirror froze her in place. Ellie's reflection appeared smugly satisfied, devious even. Her purple dress frilled at the knees and puffed at the shoulders. She had her mother's chocolate eyes, a hint of her father's chocolate-colored skin, and actual chocolate smeared around the lips. She furrowed her brow. How had her parents missed the chocolate on her face from the Butter Buddy bars? It was right there, caked around her cheeks. For that matter, how could they believe the wind knocked the magnets off the fridge when the windows couldn't open? How did they believe Ellie ran into their cabinet door after it swung into the hallway? That door couldn't swing into the hallway. She twisted these questions in her mind over and over until, to Ellie's horror, she concluded that her parents knew everything. In all likelihood, they had known the entire time. Ellie had not gotten away with her misdeeds because of cleverness. She had avoided punishment because of malignant forgiveness. As her mother swooped in again and both parents hugged her, she suddenly understood. By the way their arms writhed and squeezed, they weren't trying to hug her tighter. They were trying, perhaps unconsciously, to pull her away from one another. Ellie frowned at the realization that her parents' competition might not be so friendly. A voice spoke in Ellie's mind. It was a stickier version of her own.
Much like needing a mirror to find a smear of chocolate on your lips, sometimes your mind needs reflections, too. Sometimes they say you need something broken on the inside before you can see what's broken on the outside.
Her mother interrupted the voice.
Why don't we skip the park? I'll take you to the candy store instead, and it'll be the best time.
Her father gave her mother an appalled expression and then spun his gaze directly to Ellie. After that, I'll take you to the arcade for an even better time.
There was something sticky in their words, too, and Ellie, for the first time in her life, decided to take action in the name of decency.
I'd rather go to the park with both of you, but first I want to clean Grandma's blanket, she said firmly.
Oh, nonsense, her mother said, balling the old blanket up and throwing it into the living room trash bin.
It's covered in lighter fluid, and that's not safe. Besides, it's utterly destroyed.
Ellie's heart sank upon realizing that the lighter fluid had bled the coloring of the blanket into an unrecognizable mess. Still, she crossed her arms and did her best imitation of grandmother's stern look.
I want to go to the park with both of you.
Her parents gawked at each other in surprise, which slowly settled into hesitant confusion.
To the park then, I guess.
Her mother finally said. Her father's mouth hung open like a broken cabinet door, completely unhinged.
I suppose we'll get ready then.
They shuffled from the room in utter bafflement, leaving Ellie in contemplative silence, which mirrored her newfound truth. The silence was threatened by the snide and sticky sweet voice.
Their problems aren't yours, Ellie, and they never should have been.
Shaking off that thought, Ellie gently uncrumpled the blanket, which was damp and reeking of lighter fluid, then began carefully inspecting it square by square. She gasped, then grinned with glee. Pattering to the kitchen, blanket in hand, Ellie grabbed a pair of scissors from the junk drawer. With an affectionate smile, she cut the blanket with her scissors, carefully excising the only two untarnished squares. The center square with the word love and the adjacent image of Ellie and her grandmother standing side by side. Ellie's grin held as she scurried to meet her parents, who were fully dressed for the outdoors, and as a family, they wiggled into their shoes at the front door. Together, they stepped outside into the biting autumnal wind, sheltered within their growing closeness. On their walk to the park, they did not speak to Ellie in those coddling tones, nor did they offer her promises of toys, trips, and sweets. Instead, they embraced the silence. Contented by each other's presence, a whisper broke through, but could barely hold against the quiet stretched between them.
The park, then. No candy, no video games. Not the decision I would have made, nor the one your parents would have. But there will be plenty of time later for...
The confractionary's voice faded fully into that comfortable silence. Maybe it was the overwhelming memory of her grandmother that had muted the whisper. Or maybe it was because her world had changed, expanding into a vastness where all her petty desires vanished along with that tiny, insignificant voice. Most likely, though, the creature was silenced by love, stitched into the section of her grandmother's blanket, now held in the breast pocket close to her heart. She wondered to herself, was it strange that that blanket seemed so much warmer now that it was broken? Surely there was a lesson number 5 in that question. Perhaps sometimes things must break before becoming whole.